this play.
Oh, okay.
It was pretty old.
Yeah.
Okay, we might have a few more that comes in as a general, but it's time for us to begin according to the budget. We're studying from 1 Corinthians 11th chapter, and I believe we finished verse 7, so we're trying to get through 16 tonight, and Travis will be back from the fall break, and he'll be taken up with verse 17 Sunday morning. That's if you were not in here, like I said, you're going to get two different ways of teaching. That right over there is for Travis, and I teach from the Bible, and for a couple of reasons. That's the way I like to do it, and another, I would probably goof up trying to keep up with that and trying to teach at the same time. So we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we'll begin when we started at about verse 8. So let us begin with a word of prayer. So our Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the blessings you bestowed upon us. We're thankful for this opportunity where we can come and study a portion of your word. We realize that the things that we're studying have been caused some controversy in the past, and we pray that we might become more knowledgeable on this subject. We pray for the young ones that are here, and we're thankful for the parents who are seen to bring them here. We're thankful for those that are teaching those lessons. We're thankful for West End and what it stands for, and we pray to continue to be strong and stand for the truth. Our Father in heaven, as always, we most thank you for Jesus, and this is our prayer in his name. Amen. So beginning with verse 8, it says, "For man is not from woman, but woman from man. Nor was man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this reason, the woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is man independent of woman, nor woman independent of man in the Lord. For as woman came from man, even so man also comes through woman, but all things are from God." And we'll stop there at the end of verse 12, because that's pretty well a lot of thinking that's within those verses. For those that were not here before, in the studying of 1 Corinthians, we realize that there are letters between Paul and the Corinthians that we do not have. We even have know of a letter that Paul himself had sent to the Corinthians. But here in 1 Corinthians, Paul is responding to a letter that he received, and also from what some others have come and told him about what was going on there in Corinth. This particular chapter 11 is in response of a particular questions that were asked in a letter from the Corinthians to Paul. So that's important that we keep that in mind, that he, where this is coming from, he is answering some concerns that the brethren there had for it. In verse 8 it says, "For man is not from woman." And of course we all know that from Genesis 2, where he caused the sleep to come up on man, he took the rib, and he saw it was not good for the man to be alone, and he made woman from the man. So that's basically what he's telling them here, and telling us too, that the woman came from a man, because he saw it wasn't good, if we go back and study Genesis 2. And the man was not complete by being alone. So it takes both through the reproduction deal, as we know. The man was first, then came women. So he's put the leadership role to the man because of that. Along with that, with the woman, man cannot exist without the woman, because it takes both of them in being husband and wife for man to exist. So he is also dependent in the woman. So she comes with him to worship here, as we've been talking. When they come together to worship, she is to show honor to her husband when she comes before God. And that's what the thing that he was talking about here in this particular subject. I know it might be a little confusion till we get to the end of 16, and then you'll see kind of where we're coming from. And in verse 11, it says, "Nevertheless, neither is man independent of woman." Why is a man not independent of a woman? Why would a man not be independent of a woman? You don't have to be married, but you're still dependent on a woman. Why? Because everyone in here had a mother. Whether you're a woman or a man, you have a mother. And that's how man cannot be independent without a woman. Contrary to maybe what our law of the land has done now, where two women can marry and two men can marry, but it takes a woman and a man to reproduce. So that's the way it is, and that's the way the Lord sent it up. So they are dependent upon each other. And it tells us basically they're one in the Lord when they come to worship. The man has to honor God and Jesus. The woman has to honor God and Jesus. And there are certain things in honoring a man. Tell you something that is interesting when it comes to that. We as elders have met with our friends just over the field here. They've invited us to come sometime to their worship, which I think they do most of the time in the Bosnian one, on Friday. This is the way they do it, and this is what they requested we come to do. All the men are up front, and they ask us if we come over as men that we make sure we sit in front of the women. The women have to sit in the back and men sit in the front. So that is their, and pay attention to what I'm saying, that is their custom. I have been, and I'd say some of you have, in long times back, been at a church where the men would sit all on one side and the women will sit on the other side. Been a long time since I've seen that, but I've seen that a couple of times. When you go before the wall, the great wall in Israel that they've rebuilt, on it, a man has to now put a covering on his head, and the men go to one side of the wall, and the women will go to the other side of the wall. That is their custom for the Jews to do. If you didn't have a cap to put on, they put a beanie cap on you and everything. When you go to David's tomb, the men went in on one side with a covering, and the women went in on the other. I'm saying these things to just say that is a custom, and you are to honor their customs to come in to worship. That's a whole lot of what we're talking about now. These were certain customs at the time, and it was very important that they honored those customs. Okay? It's very important for them. And in verse 12, it says, "For as woman came from man, even so man also comes through woman. But all things are from God." All things come from God. Marriage comes from God. Everything comes from God. So the one who is, when we come together, who do we honor? Main thing is, when we come together, we have to honor God. If what we are fixing to get into talking is, There are certain ways, definitely in that time, and I feel like if a woman feels that way now, she still should do that and not go against her conscience. This lesson would be a rough lesson for me to teach with what I think in Alabama. Because in Alabama, most all women wear a head covering at least during the Lord's Supper and when you're are praying. In most of the churches of Christ in Alabama, not all of them, but most of them, it is felt pretty strong in Alabama, some in Mississippi areas, with that head covering. It's more so further south. I don't know that much in the Tampa area. I didn't see it when I've been to Tampa, and it's been a while that it's that prevalent. But this here, what we're talking about, had to deal with a custom. Okay, that's the first 12 verses. Anybody got anything that maybe I've left off that you think needs to be added to it? I'm open for suggestions, because this is a hard lesson to teach, but I feel like I've studied enough on it that we can get the right answers. Okay? It says, though the woman was taken from the man, she is of him. Yet man is born or comes into this world through woman. They mutually depend on the existence of on each other. So when we marry, we become one. All of us that's been married, if the person marrying you done the right job, that's what they were mentioning to you, that you're one now, and both are God. So the woman should be content, and the man should not assume any important superiority, since the arrangement is of God. But this is the way I've always put it. So many men don't put on the big boy pants and do his duty. He leaves it to the woman to run everything, and he backs off from what is his approach. Scripture tells us that the man is to see that his children are taught. So many times the men do not get involved in that. When I was young, working two jobs and doing more than I needed to do, I was guilty of that. I more so, like Chesa seemed to, when it was small, was to do the teaching of our children when they were young. But a man has that responsibility. A good Christian man, he doesn't have to be the one to do the teaching, but he has to be the one that sees it is done. For many, many years, I was either teaching the middle school or the high school. So many times I would have young children or high school age children come into class, and you'd know right off the bat, parents had never checked to make sure that their children had done their lessons. That's the daddy responsibility. Is Saturday night or whenever, check with your children, make sure they have done their homework and their lessons. Be the leader. But you also have to give honor to where honor is due. My wife, for a long time, and she knew more about the Bible than I did, because she grew up in the church. I was up in my 20s before I obeyed the gospel. So you also got to give just due to who knows the most about Scripture and everything.
I was just kind of thinking about this. This man not stepping up and taking his spiritual leadership responsibility seriously is what led to all the problems in the world. When Adam, who was right there with Eve, didn't step up and say no, God told us not to do this, and he just followed along, and that's led to all the problems in the world.
Plus, we always want that. He put the blame on too. He put the blame on the woman too. So we all want to pass her, instead of taking our dues, we want to lay the blame on somebody else. You know, so that That's within it also. So we're fixing to get in pretty thick now. I'm going to read 13 through 16, and if somebody else has got something.
Before you move on, verse 10, I don't really understand that. Is that what you're talking about, the covering of the head? Because of the angels, what does that mean?
Okay, that let me go back to that, because that has caused a lot of, and I didn't want to talk on the angels, because I don't know.
I mean, that's something that when I listen to it, I just, what does that mean?
Somebody that says they understand completely what it means are on the angels, is bluffing their way through it. I'm going to tell you exactly. I don't know what he's talking about when he talks about, but this is what I got. So when she comes to words, there should not be any question of who the man is, where the pants in it. And when they get to talking because of the angels, and you study, you get all kinds of things. One's like they're, I mean, he didn't went so far out to say that mean everybody had a guardian angel, and that woman's angel would not be pleased with her. That's definitely not what it. That's not what it's talking about. This is what I think, but if somebody tells me I'm wrong, there's not no way I'm going to say that I'm correct. But this is what I think. When it speaks of these angels, you have God the Father in heaven. You have the Holy Spirit, and you have Jesus. But you also have all of the angels. So what do you think? What I think is the angels are subject to the three Godheads. Okay? And when those angels that are in heaven see the woman being submissive in this point to someone else, to the man or to Jesus, it has to affect them in their obedience to God the Father. And the reason I get that, we know that angels have fallen from heaven and have sinned. That's my take on it. I was hoping nobody would ask me on that, because it's just, I don't know, and I don't think anybody else on earth can know, but that's what I think when it's speaking of these particular angels. They see the woman honoring, so that helps them in honoring God in heaven. Janice.
Well, I was just going to say that angels are messengers of God, and I'm thinking in my mind, and I don't know either, I'm like you, I don't know, but evidently they're here to help carry out, I think, like if someone prays for something, there's got, God doesn't work miraculously, but he works through other people. And maybe the angels work through them. This is what...
That's a better statement than the one in the commentary that I read, because I definitely disagree with it.
I mean, somehow angels do work around, yeah. But we don't know how they are. But their job is to be a messenger. So, I don't know.
The main thing is the angels, it done them good to be able to see it. That's a mark.
I know in my Bible about that particular verse, I was reading, and it says a symbol. The covering is the sign of man's authority over the woman because of the angels. The insubordination of an uncovered woman, signifying her refusal to recognize the authority of her husband, would offend the angels who observe the conduct of believers in their church gatherings. Well, that's what it states, and it refers to 1 Peter 1 and 12, which, let me just read that. It says, it was revealed, this to the prophets and the gospels, it's Paul's first letter there, it was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you, and these things which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. So kind of tie them two verses together. And that's, you know, I'm like him. I didn't hardly understand it either, but that's kind of, if you go with that and if that's anything to that, it kind of clears it up a little, but I don't know if that's right or not.
Thank you for trying to help.
I got Earl. Appreciate those two comments, but also, you mentioned at the beginning of the class, he's answering questions. So if we knew what the question was that was asked of him, then it might clear up that point. Another point is, if you go to John 20, 30 and 31, I'll read that. Therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in his book. But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. So we don't, if this is a point of salvation, we need to dig deeper and deeper until we, if we don't understand a passage or disagree with it, just keep reading and look at the preceding and the succeeding verses, put it in the context, and the light may come to light. So we can take that approach. But I, likewise, yeah, to point out new here, it hasn't bothered me because I don't find angels now involving my hope of eternal salvation. So I can let that go on and realize that these things happened back there. And everything I need to know, I'm promised here that it is in there. So since it's, to me, not a point of salvation, I feel comfortable in skipping over it and just moving on to things.
That's kind of what I've done until I got a question. but that's fine. It's good for us to talk about it because in either way, with the woman doing that, then it was good for the angel. And that's the only way answer I can give for sure myself.
It sounds like there were angels that would oversee the gatherings by the notes that I've got back in those days or that time period. Maybe report in or something.
And you got to remember, too, they were able, even women had the ability, along with men, to prophesy, speak in tongues, which you don't now. The angels there might have had a part in that. That's a maybe. Who knows? But we know that it come from the apostles laying on hand that passed those gifts. But it might come a little clearer to us as we do 13 and 14 when we realize what those are saying. So let's go on with 13 through 16.
Are we doing the first and second Corinthians in here? Are
we going to go? No, we'll do the rest of First Corinthians. We'll do good. This is the second quarter of First Corinthians. There's a lot in it. He liked Travis for two lessons and everything. He's going to do the proper way of doing the Lord's Supper and how it was being abused by the Corinthians. The Corinthians is a great study, but to me, you're going to have to really squeeze it in to do it in two quarters.
So I'm late to the party then. I don't know.
Yeah. But we're getting into some thick of it that is very meaningful that has, through the years, has been a lot of discussion on the covering of the woman and what it was for. And I hope as we, the next few verses are going to climax the discussion on that. So, CG wanted to hear this, but he didn't show up tonight. I told him we'd get into that in verse 16 tonight. Judge among yourselves, is it proper for a woman to pray to God with her head uncovered? Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man has long hair, it is a dishonor to him? But if a woman has long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given to her for a covering. But if anyone seems to be contentious, we have no such custom, nor do the churches of God. So that verse 16 explains a whole lot of what we've just talked about in these first 15 verses when we get to it. So there's a question here that he's answering, and it's how should a woman approach God? That's a specific question that he has been asked when you look at the answer that is being given. They want to know. So in verses 4 through 6, Paul appealed to their shame from them to correct their abuse practices, as we studied, which meant certain ways with the woman with short hair, that it was under the Greek laws when they go before and they would remove the veil and show their face and everything. It was like they were presenting themselves to be available for any of the men, okay? Or they would be available for that human so-called God in the Greeks and in others. So that was a dishonor to her husband to not have the veil during the worship, because in their worshiping man-made gods, that was their symbol to say, I'm available. We studied that when we went through the first part of that study. So now when he's saying he appeals to their own judgment based on just nature. You know, to me, you can take nature and just look at it, and there's no problem with seeing that there is a superior being that's in the whole realm of nature. It just didn't happen with me looking at it, by just looking at nature. So that's what he is asking them now here, in just look at nature, the practices, and also in the practices that we will see in verse 16 of all the churches. So is it a proper question here on it, or is it decent? Is it becoming, or is it proper for a woman to go to church with the veil off, with her hair cut short, in the worship during that period of time? Would that be the answer for it to be proper with that woman to do that? The answer would be no, because of the customs that they were used to. Because of what reason would you think of that it wouldn't be right for her to do that? She's not honoring her husband. It would be the same thing today. A woman coming to church with her husband, and I don't know any other way of saying this other than just being blunt, we all adults, if a Christian man and woman came to church and his wife come dressed like a prostitute. Everybody know what I'm talking about when I'm saying that? Wouldn't that be dishonoring her husband as well as God? So it's the same thing in the customs there, for them to not to either have the veil on or a cover, if the hair is short, a cover to cover herself, then she would not be dishonoring it, because they would partake of it then that she was not honoring her husband by saying she was a valuable. She was available for any man there by not wearing it in that day and time. So it was proper that the woman in the Christian assembly should also wear the same symbol of modesty, and this was the custom of that day. It's important that we learn that it was a custom of that day. Show you what's a custom. When we were in Italy, you know how they greeted one another when we come in the church in Italy? They kissed each cheek. That's the custom in Italy. And I said, well, maybe we can get this custom back in the States. I hold on to that. Some of our men would never get a woman to be a welcome at the door. All the men would line up to be the welcome people. But that's the custom in Italy. And we went along with their custom that they done. Why? Because we would have insulted them if we didn't do their custom. Which was, if you in Italy, just if anybody ever goes to Italy and you go to church there, that's the way you welcome, is a kiss on each cheek. When Roberto comes here, he shakes a hand. When Brother Fossey was here, they shook hands with us. But that was the custom of the day. So the women, in order to honor their husband and to honor God both, had to do what was proper as their custom. So the answers to the question, when you get to verse 14, does not even nature itself, when we look at the nature, when they're talking about the animals, different animals and whatever, it tells it. So the answer would be yes. So what does Paul mean by nature? What would you mean? He means the law of nature. Who set up the law of nature?
God.
God did. God set up that. So I've got a number of places that appeal to nature where we can find it in Scripture. If anybody wants them, I've got them set down here. I can tell you what they are. Romans 1, 26, 2, 14, and 27. In Romans 11, 21, 24, Galatians, Ephesians, James, 2 Peter, there's a bunch of them. If anybody wants them, I've got them where he appeals to nature. So that means it's without a written revelation to it. It's just something that by nature it should be done, and we get that from Romans 2, 13, and 14. For it says, for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law, are a law within themselves. So nature, as God has formed it when he created the world, is the ideal. It's what it's mean when he formed the world. We know people, or I do, who are good, law-abiding, rear their children. If they had a child that picked up something in a store, they'd beat the bar out of him or her and everything. They do things by nature without being taught anything of Scripture, that doesn't know anything at all about the Bible. That's something by nature that they have. So that comes in with the short hair for men and long hair. So such is the general custom of the world over. It's most all world over. The man has short hair and the woman has long. Okay, along with that though, there are some exceptions. Some of those who wore their hair long were the Spartans, the philosophers, and there were a few others. In the Hebrews, it was regarded as a disgrace to a man to wear his hair long, except a Nazarene vow from Numbers 6, 1 through 5, and the vows, you go get them from Judges 13. So, even when we look at some ancient coins, I got some of them old ancient coins. See, every time, all the men will have short hair on those coins. If you even get some that are good enough where you can see them from that way. But it's been that way most of the time. And David won't mind me picking on him on this, especially since he's not in here. But David, as a young man, the Beatles were very popular. And the Beatles didn't have real long hair, according to custom. But David had wearing his hair just a little longer than the rest of the men at church. And he was leading singing. And he was told he didn't get a haircut, you know, but you go get up before the church and going. And that's been, we're talking back in the middle or late 60s. And everything. They was asked for him to cut his hair because it's wrong for him to have that real long hair up leading the singing, though, which it wasn't all that long. This is my point on the long hair and the short hair and whatever. If a man and his wife comes to church and you can't tell which one's the man and which one's the woman, something's wrong. Either one of them's got the hair cut too short, or the other's got his way too long. And being a perfect picture I'm gonna get all this in order. It's a perfect picture of what we've seen on TV. If you ain't seen it, you missed something. George Bush sitting by degenerate, or how do you say her name? Yeah. And those of you, if you don't know this, she is gay. That's why they made a big deal out of their difference in their thinking. Well, her hair is really short like a man. Her girlfriend has long, beautiful hair. And that's something to what this text is speaking about. A woman shouldn't be cutting her hair in worship service to look like something that she's not. And let's don't get in on the chemotherapy. We talked about that last time, where when you have chemo, you're gonna lose some of your hair. That's a medical problem, and I'm not gonna touch that at all, okay? So it says it is an honor for a woman to have long hair. And for Mark's probably the only one in here that knows this. But the first time I seen his sister, that's what caught my eye. Her hair was all the way down to here, and she was the prettiest girl I ever seen. And that hair was to her beauty in my thinking. So the long hair is for the glory of her. And I'm not saying you have, because I know all the problems of keeping up with it. But I think there's just something about the long-haired woman that makes her more attractive, especially when they're young and it's pretty and wavy. But it is to that. I believe God made a woman that way originally in that time. It was for a particular covering. Long hair came over, it covered them. They wanted to cover their face. They could take the hair around. It covered the front part of her. And it was made that way, I think, for a covering, where a man was having the short hair. The long hair on the woman is the glory to her, according to Scripture. Okay? Another thing on that, and I'm sure some of you here are not going to know who I'm talking about. But Crystal Gayle. Anybody not know who she is? She's Loretta Lynn's sister. And if you ever seen her, she stands out because she's never cut her hair, and it touches the floor when she sang, her hair touches the floor. Everybody know who Bill Golden is? He's the bearded guy with the long hair with the Oak Ridge Boys. He hasn't cut his for no telling how many years. Hadn't cut in one. His hair comes somewhere along here in the back, half the distance of hers. So that's just a way of saying it. God made women for their hair to grow really, really long, more so than men temporarily. Okay, in verse 15, it has in there something that caught my eye. It says, but if a woman has long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given to her for a covering. There's the word for used two different times with two different meanings, which when you look at it, you have to, it's important that it says the first time the word for appears in this statement, it represents the Greek word that means because. Okay? Because her hair is given to her. You change that for to the because. And the second time the word seems to translate the Greek word meaning instead of. So, because her hair is a cover to her instead of a covering. Okay? And when you look at the meaning, the two words were different, but each time they meant different things or for. So it was made, given to her for her glory. not just necessary for a covering when you look at that. So her long hair can be that covering, but that's not the reason it was necessary to give to her. If you look at it and understand the two words of the for her hair is given to her for a covering. When you look at it, when it's translated, instead of, it makes a difference in what way you look at it. Y'all understand what I'm saying? It is given to her to glory, for her glory, instead of a covering. In other words, meaning she needs to wear more than her hair. She needs to put clothes on, is the way I take it, and everything on it. It's not the only thing that she's to use for a covering. I do not think that Paul meant that for all women in ever, for all times, that's what that was actually meaning for the women. Culture to wear long hair or a covering. There is a fact that most women's hair grows quite longer by nature than a man's. And we talked about that on the example that I give to you. Anyone, before I get to verse 16, because it climaxes the first 15 verses. Okay? 16, you say, but if anyone seems to be contentious, we have no such custom, nor do the churches of God. So that ends up explaining what all we just studied about on long hair, short hair, or covered. Contentions. This is a polite way of saying it's contention. If anyone is so contentious as to dispute this conclusion, in other words, there are people that just like to argue, it's the way I put it, about the long hair lengths and the covering of the uncovering of the head while in worship. So contentions about it means somebody that doesn't like just what Paul said. Now, sometimes the preacher preaches something that some of us may not like, and in most cases that's because he hit home on to me or whoever when he's preaching on what he's preaching on. So he was to let they must remember that other Christians' congregation deems it proper for men to cover their heads while worshiping, or for women to appear uncovered in public. In other words, he's appealing to them here that all the other churches are doing this, so this is what you need to do. And I hate to say this, that's one of the things that Paul says, that you might get into a lot of trouble just because a lot of other churches are doing it. That don't necessarily mean that that's the right thing to do. We can see that in Warren County. Look at all the different, even let's just say churches of Christ, who preach and teach the same plan of salvation. Look what all the differences are between, I mean, it's even more so than the saying conservative and liberal. I don't even like using them. But that it gets so to the far extreme of the difference between conservative and some churches who use the name, or let's just say the proper name that's given in Scripture, and that could be the Christian church and others. It gets way out there. So I want to throw that in before you misunderstand what I'm saying. Because just because some other church does it, that doesn't make it right. But the point he was making as an apostle who had that ability to make that statement and what he was doing, that's what all the other churches, church in Jerusalem and all the others were doing, was doing the long hair, the head covering. The men had the short hair. And during their worship, remember, they had prophesying, speaking in tongues, which we also don't have today. And there were certain ways that they were able to do that. Also, in this study, as we studied it, we seen where it spoke of with women prophesying and praying.